Today, my dear friends, we have truly a magnificent feast day, an absolute gem for our times, the Feast of the Holy Innocents. Without a doubt, this is very, very memorable, my dear friends, because, as you know, as from the we all know the story of the Holy Innocents. When Herod heard of the newborn king, he told the wise men to let him know where the child was so he also could come and adore him. That's the first hint that this is the work of the devil. That's a lie. He didn't want to adore the child. He wanted to find out the child and kill it. So he had no opposition. This is the way of the world. Only thinking of this life and their glory in this life. And they don't care what they do. So he was willing to kill all the children born at Bethlehem at that time. I always used to think there were just a handful, but from what I've been reading here and there, quite a number, maybe even in the hundreds. Right? Maybe even in the hundreds. So he didn't want any opposition, so he was willing to kill the children. Reminds us of today, my dear friends, with this tremendous holocaust we have for the children, the unborn children that are aborted, into the billions. Can you imagine, my dear friends? How could this ever be? And what are we going to do? I'm thinking of the Jews in the desert, and they thought about God, and they wanted some meat, and they said, they thought, how can God give us meat in the desert? Well, as you know, God sent down the various birds, and they had meat until it was coming out their ears, as we used to say in America. So much meat they couldn't eat it all, as it were. God can do everything. God can do anything. And no matter what evil men have, God will always bring good. Just remember that. We should never, never forget that. Don't complain about all the suffering in the world and all your suffering and everything. God knows what you're suffering. God knows what's going on, and he will bring good out of it. Today we're going to learn about Rachel crying for her children. Now who is Rachel, right? Who is Rachel? All right, check your biblical knowledge. Most of us don't know. Did I know? No, I didn't know. I knew Rachel, she was a great woman in the Bible. Whose wife was she? I didn't know. I did a little reading. And Rachel was the wife of Jacob. Jacob was the Jacob and Isaac. Jacob was the son of Abraham, I hope. I think he was. And he had 12 sons. But because Rachel was sterile, she didn't have any children. So he begot children by Rachel's sister, by various other servants, until Rachel was delivered by God. In the last two children, the 12 children, Joseph and Benjamin. And Joseph is another indication of the greatness of God. Joseph is a type of Christ. Joseph is like Jesus Christ, sold by his brothers for 30 pieces of silver, sent into exile, as it were, put in jail by the Pharaoh, in a dungeon, and there he probably would have wasted away, but God had other plans. The famine in Egypt came, and Joseph explained what was happening, and the Pharaoh made him number one after himself in the kingdom of Egypt. And so much for Joseph. Joseph was hated by his brothers because his father loved him the most, because he was the son of Rachel, his true beloved wife. And the others were sons of other women, not his wife, as it were. This was done, of course, in biblical times, but today, of course, we don't do those. God has raised marriage to a sacrament. All right, what God has joined together, let man no man put asunder, and we're allowed only one wife. But in those days, this is what happened, and this is why Joseph was given the many-colored coat, and his brothers hated him, and they sold him to the Egyptians for 30 pieces of silver. All right, as Benjamin said, that was, we should sell him rather than kill him. Then we get some money, as it were. So they were very interested in the money, of course. And needless to say, the famine came to Israel, and Israel, the 10 brothers came to, 11 brothers, Benjamin and the father, Jacob, came to Egypt, and Joseph delivered them. So God brought tremendous good out of the selling of Joseph into slavery. He's a type of Christ. Just like the Jews thought they crucified Christ and they conquered him, and the devil thought he conquered him, as it were. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Ha ha ha, come down from the cross. He saved others, he can't save himself. And we have the greatest event, in a way, in the Bible, the death of Jesus. God shows his love and redeems all men, saves all men from their sins on by the cross. Another great blessing from God. God gave his only begotten Son. God so loved his Son that he sent his only begotten Son, that all those who believe in him may have everlasting life. This is why we're here today. We want everlasting life, believing in Jesus who has conquered death and sin and will deliver us from our sins and give us eternal happiness. We're getting a little away from Rachel, but we're getting back to her. So Joseph and Jesus are types. Jesus, Joseph is a type of Christ. So Rachel has a child, Joseph and Benjamin. She didn't see what was going to happen to Joseph, because when Benjamin came along, she died on the way to Bethlehem. All right? And there is to this day, her gravesite is there. I think it's still visible. All right? Jacob put a pillar to represent where she was buried, and it's near Bethlehem. God, because God would foresee that the Jews would pass through Bethlehem on their way to Babylonian captivity, all those Jews, 70 years, and Rachel would weep for her children. That was one time, but Rachel would weep for her children a second time, when all the children would be killed by Herod. So Rachel would weep for her children, for they are no more. And this is why Rachel is such an important figure. And even with the patriarchs, Moses and Abraham and so on, God would not answer their prayers, but he answered the prayer of Rachel and delivered the Jews from captivity. So Rachel is a very important figure, my dear friends, because she will deliver Israel. She's a powerful intercessor, right? She's also a mother of sorrow, like Our Lady, right? She's a mother of sorrow, who lost her child in childbirth, as it were. And she sorrowed over all what was happening to the Jews, and she had great sorrow over the holy innocents. Right? Our Lady did, of course, too. So in a way, she is a type of Mary, a great intercessor, and beloved by God, more powerful than the male patriarchs, because God answered her prayer, because she was not a woman of praying as a sacrifice in a way, but out of love for God. God gave her what she asked for, because she had great love, like Mary Magdalene. Many sins are forgiven her because she has loved much. So we have to love God and thank him for all the things he's going to give us. And getting back to today, now what could God do, my dear friends, with this Holocaust that we have now with abortion, where billions, all right, one of the brothers will give me recounting some figures for me, more babies have been killed than all people in wars. I didn't realize that, but incredible. Incredible. We've killed more babies than all the men in war. Can you imagine that? What a horrendous Holocaust. Horrendous. My dear friends, this is why this should be, in a way, a holy day of obligation, in a way. I'd like to propose that, but nobody's going to listen to me. Because we should be mourning all these dead, all the holy innocents who have been killed. And let us hope, in a way, as the holy innocents of Bethlehem, killed by Herod, the ruthless Herod. In the scriptures today, Jeremiah talks about Herod, who, in all his hatred, could not have done better to the holy innocents. That's a paradox. How could the hatred of Herod do good for the holy innocents? Think about it. That's a paradox. It doesn't seem to be wrong, but it's right. If Herod gave them all a birthday party and let them live and so on, it would not be as good to them as what Herod did by killing them. By killing them, Herod gave them eternal life, and they're in heaven. They are martyrs for Jesus Christ. They were the first to die for Christ as a little babe. And that's why we celebrate this Mass today. This is the feast of the holy innocents. And they are all in heaven praying for our world, praying, of course, for the other holy innocents today. So what can God do with this Holocaust? Just what he did with the Holocaust that Herod did. Herod, of course, like the devil, thought he won. He conquered the king, of course, as it were. He's dead, of course. He must have been dead because they killed all the babies. Little did he know that, of course, Jesus, in a dream, while Joseph was told to take the child and his mother and go to Egypt, and they escaped from Herod. God's plan. My dear friends, we're talking about Almighty God, who is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-good. So what can we expect for this abortion Holocaust? I don't know. Could it be that they would be called holy innocents too by another generation when we get more enlightened on this matter? And maybe they're all in heaven. Maybe. Let's hope they are. Wouldn't that be wonderful? That all these babies killed because of the lust for power and money by people and selfishness, they would be rewarded with eternal life. Can you imagine that? All those babies would be going to heaven, just like the holy innocents. I'd like to think that. Of course, the church hasn't ruled on that, okay? There is a woman who has messages from the Lord, and she talks about the holy innocents. And that's her thesis, that these people, these babies will be in heaven. She hasn't been proclaimed as legitimate yet. Let's hope someday she will be. One of my professors, a theologian, said it was her treatise on the holy innocents of today, the aborted children, was one of the best things he read about the whole situation. So we can hope, and we should hope, because God is all good. And no matter what men do, God will bring good out of it. Just like he brought good out of Joseph. Joseph sold as a slave and put in chains in a dungeon in Egypt to waste away his life. No hope for the poor guy. Who cares? He's in the dungeon. God did and delivered him by telling them, giving him the prophecy that he would tell the Pharaoh, and the Pharaoh rewarded him. In the same way with the holy innocents, they are now in heaven. And now we hope for something better, even this world. The bottom line, my dear friends, is we must always, always defend God's goodness. When people say, how can a God allow such evil to go on in this world? And they reason that this is a reason to kill babies. I'm not going to bring a child into this cruel world. All right? What nonsense. God will bring some good. We're here, aren't we? Thank God my mother and father brought me into this world. Thank God. I always tell people I was number four. Suppose they, in those days, they aborted children. Oh, one and two. My mother and father hit the jackpot on the first try. That had a boy and a girl. They could have stopped right then and there. But they went on to have more children. Thank God I was number four and had two more after me. One of whom, by the way, one of my sister was born, stillborn. The umbilical cord tied around her neck and she choked, died. Never lived. So we can hope that somehow or other God would bring good out of that. I'm sure my mother was devastated. A racial crying for her children. How many mothers have cried for their children? Well, God knows what he's doing. Don't say God. You know, I always hear this, too, by the way. People say, I don't go to church anymore. God took my son or God took my daughter. And what kind of a God is that that does this kind of thing? My dear friends, you've got to have faith in God. You're like the Egyptians, like the Jews in the desert. How can God give us meat in the desert? God can do all things. Right? He can give you bacon and eggs in the desert if you want it. Right? So God can do anything. And God will bring good out of anything, everything. In your life, always see the good that God has done for you. And even things, I'm sure you can all do it. You look at your life and you see all the heartache and pain, and you see how sometimes, in a way, God used all that heartache and pain. I can say it in my own life. I had a couple of disappointments, two or three or four disappointments. I won't bother you with what they are, they're not important. But I was a little depressed, teary-eyed when I was a little younger, all right? But as I look back in my life, they were all purposeful. Everything that God did that I was disappointed in turned out for the better. And I thank God for it. Thank God for everything. All our sadness, God will turn to joy. Just like Rachel. Rachel weeping for her children. God gave us a Rachel to the Jewish people first and to us too, and Mary. And Rachel is weeping for her children. Just like Our Lady is weeping for her children. Our Lady was weeping for the holy innocents as she left Bethlehem on the way to Egypt, crying. This is one of her seven sorrows. Weeping and crying over those babies who were killed. How much suffering did Our Lady have? And of course, God brought good out of that, and God will bring good out of everything. So, my dear friends, I think I've said enough. I hope you got the message. This is a magnificent day. And Rachel is a magnificent figure, a type of Mary. All right? And read about Our Lady. Read about the various types. I can recommend this book to you. And it's called Jesus and the Jewish Roots of Mary by Brant Petre. And it's all about the Jewish roots of Our Lady. And one of the Jewish roots of Our Lady is Rachel. And I'll read you the passage from the scriptures on Rachel, even though I wasn't able to get the book, got the missal, got it in Italian. That won't do us any good. All right. But Prophet Jeremiah says, "Thus says the Lord, a voice is heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel is weeping for her children. She refuses to be comforted for her children, for because they are no more. And as our author tells us, after this, we hear that Our Lady was, that Rachel was weeping for her children, and God rewarded her. And talking about her intercession, Rachel was not to cry anymore, because her work will be rewarded and her children will come back to the promised land. That's why she was weeping as they were going on their way to exile. Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, was in furious rage, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time which he had ascertained from the wise men. Thus was fulfilled, then was fulfilled, what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they were no more. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Rise, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. This is from Matthew's Gospel. My dear friends, expect miracles of grace and expect marvelous things that God is going to do with our world, because God cannot allow these evil to continue, and he will certainly do something, and then we will be rewarded for all the suffering that has been going on for all these years, especially with the destruction of babies, abortion. Somehow or other, we will see this. God will restore the world, all right? Restore the world and restore the church, and we will have the great era of peace that Our Lady of Fatima promised. However, we probably will have a lot of suffering. We still have not fulfilled the one promise of Our Lady. Whole nations will be annihilated. And Akita, fire will fall from heaven, and two-thirds of the world will be destroyed. My dear friends, God will have to purify our world, purify the Herods of our world and the evil people who have done so much to his creation, and then restore our world and restore our church. And we will have, as one Blessed Bartholomew Hozauer says, we will have the greatest era in the church, the most vocations and the most saints coming during the age of Mary. And that's the reward we're going to get. The good that we will see in this life. Hopefully we will also see the good that God will bring when we get to heaven with all those aborted babies. Hopefully, somehow or other, we'll be there too. The new holy innocents. So keep praying, because, my dear friends, God is good. And God will bring good out of anything. And have faith. And do not get depressed. Do not let the devil trick you into false pity and depression. Because God's in charge. God is almighty and all good. And he has great love for his creation. Greater love than this no man has. And he laid down his life for his friends. And we are his friends. And he has laid down his life for us. And he is not going to let his creation be destroyed by evil, wicked men, the Herods of our world. May the Lord bless you.